The following is a sponsored program paid for by First Alliance Credit Union. Welcome to Good Money Moves, featuring Jenna Tobel from First Alliance Credit Union and Andy Brownell. Here's Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk, 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Welcome to Good Money Moves. I'm Andy Brownell, along with Jenna Tobel, AVP of Marketing with First Alliance Credit Union. Hi, Jenna.
Hey, Andy.
You have some special guests with you today?
I do. I invited Grace and Jerome from the United Way of Homestead County to join us today for a very exciting episode. But before we dig into what we're going to be talking about today, I wanted to give Grace and Jerome a minute to introduce themselves and share maybe a little bit about the United Way.
Fantastic.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Jenna, and it's great to be with you and Andy this afternoon. Grace, it's good to be with you as well, but I see you more often. So my name is Jerome Furson, and I'm privileged to serve as the president for United Way of Olmsted County, which now serves Dodge, Fillmore, Olmsted, and Winona counties. So we've got a larger service territory than our name implies. And, you know, lots of exciting things going on with United Way and in our community, and we're excited to dive into some of that here today. But before I jump down that path, Grace, you want to introduce yourself?
Thanks, Jerome. My name is Grace Pesch. I am the Vice President of Community Impact here at United Way. I have been here for about 6 years and love it more every day.
Well, fantastic. Thanks, Grace and Jerome, for joining us on Good Money Moves. And Jenna, last week we talked about using your credit card and also building credit.
Mm-hmm.
What will we be exploring today with Grace and Jerome on Good Money Moves?
Yeah, so today we are diving into some really exciting research about what financial hardship actually looks like in Minnesota. And it is not what you think. And I'm really excited to bring this information to our show. The First Alliance Credit Union Foundation actually played a big role in helping bring this important research to Olmsted County in partnership with the United Way. And this research is focused in large part really on a part of our community that goes largely unseen. That includes individuals, families. And they are the group that falls into what's called asset limited, income constrained, employed, or ALICE for short. And that is where I'm going to leave my introduction, because Grace and Jerome can share so much more detail about this than I can at this point.
I'm looking forward to it. This should be a fascinating discussion. Yeah. I read the, I guess, executive summary of the report, and to say the least, it was eye-opening. So maybe start with the basics. Jerome or Grace, can you tell me more about asset limited, income constrained, employed, or ALICE? What does that actually mean?
Grace, take it away.
Absolutely. So I'll kind of break it down piece by piece. So what we mean when we say asset limited, that means folks in our community that are less likely to have savings. They're less likely to own their home, less likely to own a car. So limited in assets, as it says. Income constrained, also pretty similar, meaning they're constrained by their income. So that means they are more likely to have multiple part-time roles instead of one full-time salaried position that gives them access to healthcare benefits or other benefits. They're more likely to have to take time to find low-cost goods, going to multiple stores across the community. They have little access to other high-paying jobs, and similar to the asset limited, also having less likely to have retirement savings as well. And then employed also just means employed, but there's a little bit of nuance there as well. So these are folks that, like I said, are more likely to have part-time positions. And there's also a little bit of nuance here too when we think about specifically people with disabilities. And there's lots of research, whether it's this report or others, that really show how underemployed people with disabilities are. So employed, there's a little bit of nuance there too, depending on if somebody has just a part-time position or, you know, they're underemployed and could have more capacity there.
Okay.
Andy, if I might just add a little bit. You know, Alice, while this research is, it's new to Minnesota, understanding financial hardship has been, you know, something that our community and communities around the nation have been trying to understand for some time. And typically that takes the kind of the definition of the what's used in that analysis is the federal poverty level. And that's a federal definition that was adopted in 1969 and has remained largely unchanged as a definition since it was adopted in 1969. It has been adjusted for inflation over the years, but I'm sure that you can imagine how life was different. I don't know, maybe not back to 1969, but how the world has changed just in the last decade or two, let alone going back to 1969. And so when we look at understanding financial hardship in our community and financial stress, the definition that the federal government uses really leaves unaddressed or unexposed the larger population that is enduring financial stress, given the need for childcare or technology today is a basic need, not a luxury, and just how, you know, we have had to incorporate additional necessities into our lives over the last several decades. So anyways, absolutely. I wanted to draw this distinction. Alice is a new way of understanding financial hardship in contrast to the federal poverty definition.
Got it. Now, to be honest, Alice, the definitions you gave, Grace, sound like the position myself and a lot of others were in when we were really young, very first starting out. But after reading the report, it's a lot more than that, right? How common is it for people to be in this situation where they fall under this description of Alice, at least here locally in southeastern Minnesota?
Absolutely. Well, Andy, you would be right as you described, you know, your own situation first entering into the professional sphere. Folks that are under the age of 25 and folks that are over the age of 65 are some of the categories that are most likely to be feeling this level of financial burden and financial instability. But beyond that, in Olmsted County specifically, it's about 1 in 3 households. And when you look at the local cities or townships where most of those folks are living, we see the highest rates of folks in the Alice population in Stuartville, in Rochester, and then also in Pleasant Grove Township in Olmsted too. And a couple other things to note. When we look at some other key demographic information to help us understand who is in this category, folks that are in the Black community or in the Hispanic community are more likely to feel this financial pressure, as well as particularly single mother households with children too.
And the fact that that adds up to almost one third of the population to
exactly.
me is more than a little surprising.
Exactly. And I think one of the best ways to describe this is, you know, people are making money, they're working their jobs every day, right? But they're just not making enough to cover all of those basic needs. So that's really just the easiest way to describe it.
Okay. Well, we'll take a quick break. We're with Grace Pesch and Jerome Ferson from Olmsted County United Way, or United Way of Olmsted County, I better say. And of course, Jenna Tobbles with us as well with First Alliance Credit Union It is Good Money Moves, and we will return in just a moment on News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Good Money Moves continues in moments with Andy Brownell and Jenna Tobel from First Alliance Credit Union. This is News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM. We're talking Good Money Moves with Andy Brownell and Jenna Tobel from First Alliance Credit Union on Rochester's News Talk, 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Welcome back. Good Money Moves. I'm Andy Brownell, Jenna Tobel with First Alliance Credit Union. Joining us, along with Jerome Ferson and Grace Pesch from Olmsted County, the United Way of Olmsted County, I'm sorry. And we're talking about this report out over the past month, I guess. And it describes folks who are, I guess what you'd say, maybe financially fragile. Would that work, Grace or Jerome?
Financially unstable or unstable and or stressed would be.
Okay. And these are folks who are working in our communities and they fall under this classification of ALICE, an acronym.
Yeah, I guess in the more common ways of talking about it, we living paycheck to paycheck, or sure, one crisis away from, falling into a crisis, experiencing a crisis of poverty. So there, it's a matter of degrees, Andy. I think again, what we're attempting to do with this report is just to elevate awareness and to advocate for individuals who are experiencing financial stress as a way of either rallying public support in the form of public benefits, or in the case of First Alliance Credit Union and how they're going about the business of being a good steward of a credit union to other public support, like individual donations, which United Way is involved in.
All right. As far as, I guess we've mentioned their household budgets and the stress that they're under to meet those basic needs of their households. What does that look like from a budget standpoint in these households?
Well, for a family of four, and just to keep things simple, when we're referencing budgets, just think of a family of four, which would be two working adults and two children. Of course, there are a very diverse set of what defines a household nowadays, but we'll stay focused on a household of four. And a monthly budget just for the survival, it's referred to in the report as a survival budget, includes things like rent and utilities or housing payments, shelter, child care, food, transportation, health care, technology, and taxes. And then there's a line for miscellaneous items, but what's not on this list is money for savings, trips, whether it's staycations or enrichment programs or experiences for the children. I mean, it is a bare bones survival budget. And so for a family of four in Olmsted County, it's just under $90,000 a year is what's necessary for the household just to hit survival level. Again, not including money for savings or future retirement or enrichment activities or experiences for the kids and for the parents in terms of relief, or just being able to have a little respite from the day-to-day demands.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And you mentioned in this household budget technology, and that's one thing that's really changed.
It sure has.
Since I was a younger person, you have to have this high-speed internet, and you almost have to have this cell phone.
Yeah, it's on two levels, and you've got not only the need for present-day communications, but if you want a workforce that is able to work in the 21st and the latter part of the 21st century, they need the skills with technology. So it's both a present-day problem in need for the family unit, but it's also it's part of the workforce development of the future. And to the extent that, you know, children today don't have access to technology, they just fall further and further behind mm-hmm. in tomorrow's workforce, exacerbating future financial stress. So it's it really is a necessity.
And a vicious cycle. You mentioned no room for savings, or at least meaningful savings. And that means if they do have transportation, as in a private vehicle, if something happens to that vehicle, that what could be a minor incident for anybody else, take it to the shop, it'll take a day or two. It could be catastrophic.
It could be, particularly if they're employed with an employer that doesn't offer, you know, paid time off, or they have to, you know, miss work because they can't get to work, and it just becomes, it does become a vicious cycle.
And the number of 90,000 for a household of four, I know there'd be some people listening to this that are my age, and we would go, "What? That seems a little crazy." But I actually, if you break it down as you did, what you have to pay in rent nowadays, the cost of healthcare, the cost of childcare, particularly.
Yes.
All of a sudden it becomes, wow, that would be very difficult to pull off.
Yeah, that number was really shocking to me too when I first got a glance at the report, was just how much higher it was than what I anticipated. It's really eye-opening when you have to break it down like that.
And for your listeners, Andy, the this report is available on our website at uwolmsted.org/Alice. We can provide you the link. And I think as we think about, the federal poverty definition and how it's, you know, uniformly applied and hasn't changed since 1969 from a, you know, what's included in the definition. The other thing that we lose in that are the local, every community has its own market in terms of supply and demand. And so one of the real benefits of understanding financial instability or stress through the ALICE report is you start to get a little bit more sense of the localized pressures and how costs may differ between, whether it's Rochester and the Twin Cities, or between, you know, St. Charles and Rochester, and you start to get a sense of those nuances, which is helpful for community-based organizations, and particularly for policymakers at the government levels, both, you know, cities, county, and state, to understand how market forces vary from community to community. I mean, those are all things we know experientially, but again, for the first time now in Minnesota, we're able to, you know, see that in a more quantified sense in a comprehensive way through this ALICE report. It really is eye-opening.
And with the numbers that you've mentioned, and I've read in the report, these are households, these are people who are out there working, earning a living, and they're earning, I take it, a little bit too much to get a real substantive public assistance.
Grace, I think that question's for you.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. So most of the public assistance through our local governments have a threshold of maybe 185% of the federal poverty limit, 200% of the federal poverty limit. And when you really put that into context, folks that are making anywhere in a household of four, anywhere above, you know, $48,000 to $55,000 a year for a household of four, are making, quote unquote, too much to receive any additional support from local public assistance. And so folks that are in this ALICE population are, you know, making, quote unquote, too much to receive any public benefits, but they're still not making enough to cover all of these costs that we all have to have on, all have to pay for on a regular basis. And so people are living in this benefits cliff, some may say, and some may have to make some tough decisions of, okay, well, should I work more hours at my job so I can get a little bit more money, or should I remain working? Should I, you know, take down my hours so that I get access to some benefits, and what is going to be that cost benefit analysis. And so it's tough because even, you know, some of our local nonprofits, they really have to fill the gap of serving these individuals. And while we have a lot of great resources in our community, there's still a lot of people out there that, you know, are just unable to access some of those resources from community-based organizations because there's just too much need out there.
All right.
I should have offered this contrast earlier. I don't think I did, but for that same family of four, two adults and two children, the federal poverty level, so, you know, what would constitute, you know, being in poverty is earning less than $29,000 a year. So it gives you some sense of the difference. Again, a bare bones survival budget in 2022 is the data, so you can just think of 23 and 24 as being elevated inflation. So that number's only gotten bigger. You know, 90,000 in 2024, based on a definition that was adopted in 1969, that's 29,000. So,
wow. Okay.
That's a significant difference.
Yes, it certainly is. We do have to take a quick break. We'll return. We're talking about the Alice Report from the United Way of Olmsted County, along with Jerome Person and Grace Pesch, Jenna Tobble with First Alliance Credit Union. And we'll be back in a moment on Newstalk 1340, KROC AM, and 96.9 FM. It's Good Money Moves.
Good Money Moves continues in moments with Andy Brownell and Jenna Tobble from First Alliance Credit Union. This is Newstalk 1340, KROC AM, and 96.9 FM. We're talking Good Money Moves with Andy Brownell and Jenna Tobble from First Alliance Credit Union on Rochester's News Talk, 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
It's Good Money Moves. Our topic this week is ALICE. It's an acronym describing folks in our community who are living paycheck to paycheck and the impact that has on our community, as well as those folks having to endure the situation. And I imagine, I don't know if this is in the report, Grace or Jerome, but have these percentages of people living within this category of ALICE grown significantly as we have experienced very extreme inflation over the past several years? Has it gotten a lot worse, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, Andy, again, the data that makes up the ALICE report is based on publicly available information that's basically from 2022. And so we know that inflation has hit us hard over the last couple of years. So the tension has only increased with intensity in our community. There's more and more people experiencing financial stress. As we look back at the data that is available, so going back 2022 and before, of course, there was easily predictable spike during the pandemic. But, you know, one of the things, particularly for our community, is, you know, the levels have increased into 2022, and that comes during a period of time where our community was also growing. So when you think in terms of percentages, 1 in 3 or 33%, on a base population that's growing, the number of individuals has increased. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So while we'd like to say that we are, you know, getting a little bit further ahead as a community, the fact of the matter is we're having, you know, difficulty holding our own in terms of improving financial stress.
Absolutely, especially when you look at the cost of rent continuing to rise at astounding rates in our community particularly. I can see where things have gotten a lot worse or not heading in the right direction, that's for sure. Well, we only have a few minutes left. Is there anything else about the report that we haven't covered that you'd like to discuss?
Well, I think we've kind of alluded to it, but, you know, United Way of Olmsted County and United Ways across Minnesota collaborated along with local partners like First Alliance Credit Union to bring this research to our community to help build community awareness and hopefully identify either possible community-wide solutions, or more specifically, maybe some programmatic changes and eligibility requirements and different things to allow, a greater portion of the population to receive support. Of course, long-term, we hope to advocate both at the state and federal levels to change the definition of federal poverty. So the long-term intent here with this information is not to just do this report once, but to do it in probably, well, two-year increments. So every other year, we will refresh the data and, keep the pressure on in terms of elevating awareness and hopefully advocating successfully to change public policy. In the meantime, if your listeners are interested in supporting ALIS populations, we invite them to check out the uwhomestead.org website, and if so inclined, to support the ALIS population by donating to United Way, we would certainly appreciate that.
All right. As I said earlier, I wish we had a lot more time to cover this because it's a very important topic for our community in the future. And as it ties in with Good Money Moves, Jenna, I have a feeling that you can direct us to where we can find out more and maybe tap into additional resources to learn about folks who are living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, absolutely. As always, I encourage our listeners to visit the First Alliance website at firstalliancecu.com. You can subscribe to our blog. We release new financial tips and advice there regularly. You can listen to past episodes of this show at firstalliancecu.com/podcast or on KROCnews.com. You can also listen to the podcast on Apple, YouTube, and Spotify. And as always, I encourage our listeners to reach out to our team at First Alliance Credit Union. We are here to help you start making good money moves today.
That's First Alliance Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA and an equal housing lender. Jerome and Grace, thank you so much for your time. And maybe throw out one more time, if folks want to read the report and glean whatever they want from it, where can they view it?
You can find the report at www.uwhomestead.org/Alice, A-L-I-C-E. Did I get that right, Grace?
You did.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Thanks again, both of you. And thanks, Jenna. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks. This is Good Money Moves on News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM.